Pete Yost here for the Unbuild It podcast with a word about our sponsor, Huber Engineered Woods. There are really three reasons why I think Huber Engineered Woods stands out, and it's a big part of why they're a sponsor of our Unbuild It podcast. First, they develop systems of products. The products are compatible and integrated. Makes our jobs a lot more easy in the field and when specifying. Second is superior tech support. There are really good website resources that they have developed for the application of their products, but they also have an outstanding 800 number tech team that really knows their stuff. And the last is a really active technical research and development team with whom I've done a lot of work over the years, and I have a lot of faith in the information I get from them when I have questions about product performance. So that's it. That's our high performance sponsor. Now on to the podcast.
I'm Jake Bruton, and today on, I almost said the Build Show Network, on the Unbuild It podcast, I am joined by Peter Yost.
Hey there.
And Steve Basic.
Hello, hello.
The regular trio that is our hosting platform, I guess. Today we're going to talk about Legos. That was not what you were expecting me to say.
The breakfast treat?
That would be...
Oh, that's Eggos.
Eggos.
Sorry. I thought maybe it was French Eggos. Legos.
No, today we're going to talk about probably the most requested and least covered topic on the Unbuild It podcast. We're going to talk about ICF. Insulated concrete forms.
Forms?
There we go. And I have to say that... I probably know the least out of anybody sitting at this table about ICFs. So I'm going to say, hey, Pete, can you give us a, can you be our Webster's Dictionary today and tell us what we're looking at?
Well, does that mean I have to give like multiple answers, you know, about what an ICF is?
Whether or not it's a noun or a verb.
So I remember when I was starting at the NEHB Research Center in 1993, they were doing some research homes, and they were, one of them was an insulated concrete form house. So that means they were using insulated concrete forms below grade and above grade all the way up to the roof line. And it was pretty early on in the process. And I didn't know anything about insulated concrete forms, but the idea was that you were making a place for the concrete to form around, and it would be insulated. So what could be better? You're going to get structure. You're going to get fire protection. You're going to get insulation. You'll get air tightness.
You're going to get insulation on both sides of the mass.
Double
wall.
The pleasure, double the fun with the ICFs. And there are a whole bunch of different companies, and they varied quite a bit in terms of maybe the type of ridge insulation they were using, the density, but mostly was about the size of the blocks and the ties between the webs, between the two faces on the exterior and the interior of the system. That's what I got.
Okay. So if it's such a great system, why haven't we talked about it yet on the podcast? We're 2.5 years or 3 years into doing the podcast.
You wouldn't let me. We've covered it numerous times, but only comically.
Yes. And so I would say that the reason we haven't covered it is probably mostly me, but the other two take a little credit on this. It's because in my experience, the folks that tend to work with ICF every day tend to be like passive house people.
Evangelistic?
Yes. Cult members. They tend to run in the, well, if you're not doing it with ICF, you're wasting time and money. You're doing it the wrong way.
Their platform crown. Is ICF or nothing.
Yeah. Instead of acknowledging that there are multiple ways to do this, that there are benefits to each method. And I find that incredibly frustrating in any aspect of our industry or of life. The absolutely no room for anybody else to be right is a difficult thing for me. And I immediately just go,
I think in our industry, so much of us come up as carpenters, and there's a tremendous bias towards wood frame construction.
Mm-hmm. It's and light, so it's easy.
And so if you see all the difficulties with wood, a lot of the folks who I think are attracted to alternative systems are, look, you know, building out of wood is a crazy thing to do. And it's not what I've learned to do as sort of the default. So let's look for a system that's new. So, and I it's interesting. A lot of the interest in alternative systems is when there's lumber shortages, there's labor shortages related to traditional construction. And it's like, I've got to find a way around being dependent on wood and carpenters to build my homes.
So,
or it's a better system, you know,
clients that like that Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Who like that Kool-Aid. And that's a good segue for you to get into this conversation.
So here's my thought. You probably have the most experience with it, even though Peter's been experiencing it decades longer than we have. Why don't you explain what it is? And I will just interrupt as I see fit and go, yeah, but why not? And you can tell me what you think the response to that should be.
Meanwhile, I'm going to nap.
This is the ICF Inquisition. Ooh. How's that for a title?
Yeah, this is great.
But I mean, when I ask the question, take that as an opportunity to tell me why I'm wrong.
I'm with you. That's why I said ICF Inquisition.
I'm going to continue to play the idiot on this
title. So just for clarification.
Why in the heck do I want to do this in the first place?
Yeah. Just for clarification. Currently, I have done ICFs on a house where we took it up through the first floor. The second floor frame, second floor walls and roof were stick framed and trusses. I had done another project that was a small addition where we did ICF only because it was much easier to get the formwork, and the builder just did it himself because it was a small enough addition. So he's like, I'll just get that. I don't have to buy formwork or anything because it is formwork.
So this is a carpenter who's seen the advantage of doing a foundation on his own.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
When we're talking about wood frame buildings, wood frame construction, and I make the comment that it's lightweight and the forms are very lightweight. You're doing a remodel around back of a house with bad access. You can pack it around there real quick and easy.
Exactly. And then recently we just did a house with a full foundation of ICF and we switched to wood framing from the mud sill up. Now, the interesting thing for this is the reason the homeowner for this one, and this one I can speak the most of because I have the most involvement with this one. But so the homeowner came and said, we're doing ICF. And when I said why, it's pretty interesting. It's because the house is right next to a river. We were restricted to the house could be no larger than the house that we tore down. We're literally like 40 feet from one of the most desirable rivers in New England.
Whoa.
Yes, it is a hallmark project.
Huh. Is Desirable River a good band name?
Only if you do like...
it's a folk band.
It's only if you're into...
Yeah, it's like country Lawrence Western. Welk music, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So, very desirable river. So, what the homeowner believes is that the building department allowed us to measure the foundation or the building footprint by the outer core of the concrete, not the outer core of the ICF.
So we got to push two inches of insulation outboard?
2 5/8 inches okay. outboard from there. And then
which is
whatever.
More than 5 inches
of insulation. But that's how they measured it. They measured the foundation and they said, well, if you were turning, they said, well, the foundation really isn't the ICF. The insulation is an enhancement in formwork. The foundation is actually here where the edge of concrete is.
And how many stories are they going to use the ICF on?
Just one.
Just one.
Because they measured the footprint by the foundation.
Okay.
So one of the good things about
New what England, a hustle to get 5 1/8 inch or whatever, 5 1/4 inches. Yeah. Worth of
additional. Yeah. Anyways, but, and well, it's 5 1/4, but that also makes the, wall less than 9 inches thick. So you get that, but you also, the interior space in your basement grows at say 3 inches across the building.
Hmm. Yeah.
So there's some advantage there. A couple of things that, you know, before you even get to building it that I thought were pretty slick is the ICFs were direct trucked from the factory. So there was no middle person. I was at the job site when the 18-wheeler pulled up from Canada, and he opened the doors, and it was a truckload of ICFs. And they were easy to unload, no fork truck. I mean, they were all banded together in these like 4-foot square towers, and they came right off. And
When we buy stuff from Halo Logix, for you know, they make
they're the same ICF company, yeah.
We get stuff from them direct truck too.
Yeah. And we were fortunate here; we had enough ICF that we had the full truck. Because the truck driver said, "Yeah, sometimes I have multiple deliveries, but in this case, it was the whole house." So, anyways, we got that. You don't have to worry about like storing it inside somewhere, right? You can just put it out.
Because you're about to bury it.
You're about to bury it in the ground. So we use the Logix system. The blocks that we used, they were 11 and three quarters. Is that? Yeah, 11 and three quarters. So they have a 2 5/8 inch EPS form on the inside and outside that yields a 6 1/2 inch core. So the one of the, you know, offsetting beauties of ICFs is that you use less concrete, right? Because, and we've talked about concrete before in podcasts not being the most environmentally friendly product out there. So immediately we've taken out, 35-40% of the concrete in this wall by going to ICF. So there is some goodness there or advantage.
So why is that possible?
It's heavily reinforced in there.
Yeah.
And I think, it's the heavily reinforced and those little plastic reinforcements, I'm sure they have some advantage to tying the wall in to allowing it to be stronger and not crack as much and such, right? Because when you hear about 8-inch foundations or walls or 10-inch walls, like one of the concerns is, you know, the wall cracking and stuff, but with ICFs. And the reality is those cracks probably don't matter maybe as much as we think they do. In the ICF wall, you never see them, so it doesn't matter, right? So it's a problem that's never a visual problem. But they are more heavily reinforced. So you're buying less concrete, but you're doing that in exchange for buying more steel. So I don't know exactly what those numbers are, but let's just for all intents and purposes say that that's probably a wash. Because putting in 40% more concrete is not a whole lot more time. Tying all that
rebar. Yeah, it's almost nothing labor-wise.
Tying all that rebar and bending it and all of that stuff, even though we had this cool bending machine on site that was pneumatic and I got to play with. But you could see the time involved putting this puzzle together.
When I did when there was a research project at the NHP Research Center on ICFs, one of the important performance attributes was assessing sound transmission, that this building was going to be, because of the mass and because of the insulation, you know, the mass of concrete and the insulation, that there was a lot of sound attenuation. And the interesting thing was the windows flanked. So if you're going to do an ICF above grade for sound control, or for a quieter building, you better put in pretty good windows, because the sound transmission through the windows by way of air leakage and just through the windows themselves, you're going to beef up the opaque wall. You have to also beef up the window performance in terms of acoustics.
Well, this particular house has all triple glazed Euro aluminum frame.
There you go. Good coupling to the ICF.
It's a good deal there. Before we talk about how it got installed, which I was very impressed with, the team that was installing it was a father and son team. The son was pretty much in charge. The dad was there kind of, I think he certainly knew what he was doing, but the son was like in charge of the layout and all that. And all the little tips and tricks that, you know, that they walked me through, I was like, wow, I would have never thought of that, or wow, this is great and that. But before we get to that, let's talk about just the physical metrics of ICF block, because I think here's where the evangelism and reality might have a slight departure, right? These blocks were, like I said, 11 and three quarters. They had two and five eighths inch sidewalls. So that's 5 1/4 inches of EPS sidewall, which when I do the math, we're probably somewhere at around R21, plus or minus some short change. But they're there at 21.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
When you hear people say, well, ICF, you get a much better insulated wall. I don't understand. If I do a 10-inch concrete wall, I spray 2 inches of close cell at 13, and then I put an R15 bat in the wall, even though it's a wood framed wall, I'm still at R28, R29, that those are probably about the same, I would think.
Yep.
I'm not buying that ICF is better insulated.
Especially when they go above grade too.
Especially when they go above grade. If we did a 2x6 wall with zip R9, we're up in the R32 ish range with that wall system, and the ICF is still at the R21. Now, I'm doing another project with another different block, Nadura, which has their XT or whatever, but one of the fins expands to 4 inches of foam. So you get another additional 2 R8 or whatever. So you're up at R29-ish.
Are they, my memory is they're primarily high density expanded polystyrene EPS.
Yes, they're EPS. Yeah, they're EPS foam. The ones that I've seen, the I don't know if Nudura was XPS, or I think it's EPS also.
So we talked about the difference between above grade and below grade on the insulation front. What are you specifying below grade to protect that foam? Because you and I talk nonstop about not putting insulation below grade outside where we can't protect it. So what are you doing that, and what are you doing to manage water on the outside?
Well, we did a water management. The water management system on the outside was a tough and dry system. So we did their, I think it's their 7/8 or 1 inch board, whatever it is. It's their shallow board.
It's a pretty premium protection system.
And that goes on top of, and we did check with tough and dry to make sure that their warranty and their compatibility with EPS. And they said, oh yeah, our system works well with ICFs. And it did.
Good. So it didn't save us anything on our below grade water management
system. We would have done exactly the same waterproofing system if we did a 10-inch foundation wall.
Okay, so it's a wash there.
So that's a wash. You know, I think if you were asking me where do I think its biggest advantage is, if you're building a multi-million dollar home on the coast of Miami, building the shell out of ICF kind of makes sense to me, right? As opposed to
structurally.
Structurally. But
in that market in South Florida, you're competing against block on the first frame the first floor.
Which, yes, exactly. Here you get the insulating value and you get the continuity of concrete. There's probably an argument that the concrete, and it turns it into almost like a waffle board that's interlaced structurally in both directions, vertically and horizontally there with that cage. So not that you can't do that with concrete block, but you don't have nearly the same continuity of concrete with a concrete block with filled cores is a whole lot of cold joints.
Yeah.
Right. It's basically two concrete walls interlaced.
Yep.
The ICF is a singular wall interlaced.
Yeah. Right.
So I think there's a benefit to that.
What about if you're going ICF above grade? Did you have to change your architectural details for floor assemblies in terms of how they?
So there are a number of them. And I should say also that not only have I done ICF, I did do a house with the perfect block,
which
I liked also.
Yeah.
The perfect block was fully recycled EPS foam, 100% recycled content. And that was I think it was a 40% reduction. No, that would have might even been more, like 60% reduction in concrete.
And a lot more resistance to insects and such with the perfect
block. With the slag stuff that they put some sort of cementous.
Yeah,
they had
some kind of binder or something in there that it just makes it a little,
It's the Power Rangers. It's like all those powers combining of recycled and it's ICF and now He's a marketing
guy. The perfect block. Yeah. The perfect block was really cool.
What a name. How modest.
But when you go to put the floor in, you have a couple different options. Like some guys will say you build a haunch and then you can frame a floor, and they make a haunch block that'll come out. A lot of places will suggest that you hang, say, an LVL off of the side of the ICF block. Yep. And Simpson actually makes like a very specific ICF LVL hanger for that condition. The perfect block was a little wonky for me in that they suggested drilling like 4-inch holes on like 16-inch centers or something, and then putting anchor bolts in. And it was really, like, I looked at it and go, man, like the perfect block goes up fast. And then, man, do we slow down when it's time to put this.
So you're going
to
core a 4-inch hole through it so that then you can cast that in concrete.
Yeah, you temporarily like put the LVL up with the anchor bolts already bolted to it to hold it in place. And then after it gets cast, then you just simply tighten the bolts and the LVL sits up against there.
So this is the challenge of now we're dealing with concrete in a wood frame world.
Well, I think the challenge is because we're trying to solve a wood frame problem using something that isn't wood framed. And we have to, we constantly want to go back to our old system.
And do we have the same issues at the top of the wall where we're doing the rafters or the trusses?
Or the trusses. That's a little easier solved. But the floor, what I was getting at is I'm doing another project where we're using a product called Light Deck, which is an ICF type decking system that's like a parking garage T-beam that it sits on and integrates with the ICF block. So when you
pour the forming block, on site a T-beam?
No, you're using the EPS formwork to form a structural concrete double T-beam. Yes, or single. Single or double? I used them once. We did a basement under a garage, and we used the Light Deck product, which is probably like 12 or 14 inches of EPS foam that had these fins, and they had these two wells that you put rebar in that it looked like a T. And then when you put them together, you put them on a shelf on the concrete foundation wall. And then when you pour the slab, there's horizontal reinforcing that ties into each of the T-beams. So you basically get this T-shaped system that's where you get the strength from. So any structural system, the minute you can push the cords away, the further you push them away from the middle, the stronger the beam is, because all of beam strength is coming from the depth, because the depth gets cubed in the calculation.
I'm just envisioning the casting of the beams.
Yeah, you have to put some like temporary support underneath them. And but they were very, like when we did that basement, I remember picking one up. It was 26 feet long. The thing was probably 30 pounds or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was extremely light. But anyways, getting back to the ICF, you know, a couple of the tricks that he did that I thought were ingenious. We had the footing, and he snapped a bunch of lines on the footing. And on those lines, he was putting down metal stud track, like the U-shaped stud track. And I was like, why are you putting? He goes, you'll see. He goes, I just dropped the ICF down on there now, and I screw into it. The stud track gives me a perfectly straight wall.
Oh, cool.
As well as, what do you think the number one fear of an ICF wall is when you're pouring it?
Blowout at the bottom. Absolutely.
So now we have this continuous fin.
Interesting. So he's doing one on both sides?
Track. No, he just does it on the one side, which I thought was interesting that it doesn't blow out.
The interesting thing about this, when we did the research house, blowouts was, you know, it was a huge problem. But it's an early
lift, I would think.
But it's all the things that with any new system, you know, the whole reason they're doing a research house is they want to show what the strengths and weaknesses are and how people have to tune their expertise to the materials. And if you're carpenters and you're trying to do ICF, you know, you're going to have to learn a new respect for the materials because it behaves so differently.
And that's all these guys do is ICFs.
Yeah. So they got all the tricks to eliminate that stuff.
Which I thought were really interesting. Now, one of the other things that he learned is they, like any masonry, they form at the corners and then they move inward. Mm-hmm. Now, you're never going to have all of the walls be dimensionally correct to the block modular, right? Mm-hmm. So if the blocks are all 4 feet, well, what happens if the house is 30 feet?
22 feet or what? Yeah.
Yeah, right? And on the inside, it's going to be, if it's an inside to that wall, it might be even less. So what they do is they run it towards the inside, and then they find a place that is outside of their formwork. So they, the company that we worked with, Blue Green Building Concepts, I'll throw them a bone. They had beautiful ICF reinforced formwork that they put on the outside. It was like staging that came back and
you put a plug
ground. So they didn't put a plug. They used plywood gussets, but that joint is a vertical joint and they put it in a place where it didn't interfere with their 4 foot on center for their reinforcements.
Sure. Yeah.
So now they're coming in there and they're going to go and say, oh, let's brace the wall. Oh, we got all these gussets in way. So they kind of pre-planned that and had that happen. So that was like kind of tip number two. The other thing was, is they tied a lot of the blocks together. Logix or whoever makes the blocks makes these real simple, like C-shaped clips, mm-hmm. so that you can grab a piece of rebar that interstitial web and clip it to the one below it. So you're basically pulling the course number two down to one, course number three down to two.
Which would be important. There has to be a positive connection between layers. You're
interlacing them. Now, it's not structural. It's just like to keep it from blowing away in the wind.
Sure.
But
And during pour,
so that it doesn't, something gets underneath there. It's not lifting those up. Now, just like the gussets, when you get to that middle of the wall, you're not at a dimensionally modular number. So he also in his pouch had these like 18-inch zip ties. So in that case, he would just run the zip tie around it because the zip tie conforms to almost any dimension, right? Hmm. You just pull it until it's tight. So I thought that was pretty slick that they just have these systems, but he has the backup system for when the modular system didn't work.
You got another one?
Well, there's another one.
We got a little bit of time left for one more trick.
All right. I was walking around the catwalk shooting a video for the build show on this stuff, and I noticed there was a number 5 bar that always sat on the top of the catwalk. So I called them, and I said, the number 5 bar, you left that out of the top so you can get the trunk of the pump in. Is that correct? And he said, yes, that's exactly why we do it. So the number 5 bar that they're going to snap in, those interstitial webs are sized for, there's 2 that are sized for a number 5 bar and 2 that are sized for a number 4 bar, I believe. So you can use either size depending on what your structural engineer sets them up for. But they leave the top one off because they need to be able to stick that trunk. You don't want to drop the concrete the full 9 feet. You want to stick the trunk down. Well, they can't. They put both bars across that 6-inch core. So they leave one side off. They just leave it down until they get up to within about 2 feet or so.
And they drop it.
And then they snap it in and put it. But it's right there at their feet, ready to go. But to see these guys work, it was quite impressive to see them at work and doing it. Consequently, you know, they went on and they wanted me to come down. I didn't get a chance to see it, but they were doing a pool out of ICFs. Hmm. So they had the company make the liner for the pool. And I'm guessing you'd probably do a gunite pool too, shoot it on the inside.
Of the
but
form.
Think about it. If you're heating the water for that pool, now I have a fully insulated pool wall.
Very cool.
So I don't know.
So to sort of wrap up your experience, it's like, hey, it's a different system. It's got advantages. And you're not going to turn down a project that uses that because it's an opportunity.
No, it was pretty pretty cool to just see a different system too, yeah, and see these pros working at it, because they were definitely seemed to have all the answers to my questions.
Craftsman.
Hey, how did you solve for this? How did you solve for that?
Yeah.
And they did. Now, the one that we are doing with the light deck, we're actually doing a concrete roof system. So that deck product, you can use up to a 7-12 roof pitch.
Okay, that's a different podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm not, I we're still like working with the structural engineer and trying to figure out. The structural engineer has done them before. So we have somebody on the team that has knowledge of this and isn't afraid of it. But I'm learning a lot.
A pitched roof bunker.
So I'm going to, be the naysayer here. Below grade seems to make substantially more sense than above grade to me. And this is why. We're already wanting insulation. It's not changing our water management strategy below grade. So we're getting the insulation with the concrete forms. I fully acknowledge that it's easier to get access around back and pack lightweight stuff around there. We're not swapping. It's not swapping out something that I believe in for something that I don't believe in, sort of thing. When you get above grade or when you get to first floor walls, I have the same challenge with it that I do with SIPS panels, is the remodel factor. The client comes and goes, well, I thought we were going to be able to see the pond from this window when we're building it. Those sorts of things that I think are much larger challenges, which is indicative of how our industry builds. That doesn't make it right or wrong, but I still don't see that as being something that you would be hard pressed, I think, to bring me around on it.
Yeah. And if you did, like on that one project, we're using the XT block. So it's a little bit of a hard pill to swallow. And those blocks are, I want to say they're like 14 inches wide or something, mm-hmm, 16 inches wide. Like I can build a 2x6 wall and put 4 inches of insulation on the outside of that and still only be at 60% of that wall thickness.
Yes.
Yeah.
At twice the R value.
We certainly didn't cover absolutely everything with ICF.
No, there's a whole bunch.
We scratched the
more
surface.
And we're planning one that the house is about 10,000 square feet. And it's all ICF and light deck.
But interesting,
story.
The pressure to do this is generally client driven.
Yeah, this client wants, this is what he wants.
And yes, interesting.
The planning for this is just baffling on how much, because we have a bunch of interior walls and like safe rooms and,
Somebody owns a concrete plant is what Steve's trying to say.
Well, I'm just saying it's a lot. And you can't just put this stuff up. It's got to go all the way down and have its own foundation system. So the crawl space is mirroring a lot of these bearing walls such. It's interesting, but it's what makes the world go round. So
I would say that this podcast was kind of a representation of our feelings across the board on it. Like we'll none just of
call
us
it ICF intro, because there's still a lot more to talk about.
Nobody's a zealot yet. I haven't done it.
Keep it coming.
I'm uninformed. We'll come back to this topic at some point.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, one or two more projects of doing this, then I'll be able to come back and be enlightened even more.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you. I'm just saying, I, you know, I'm not there yet. And people say, well, why isn't everybody using it? It's because it's hard to find people.
Yeah.
To do it. And, you know, we haven't even talked about pricing or cost. Yeah. I'm not going to, because that's a rabbit hole. But that I'll just leave it as that is a potential challenge.
Okay. And because people have been waiting so long for ICF, I'm not giving out our email address at the end of this one so that we might get less emails about it. You're going to have to be a regular listener to know what that email address is. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Before we
today.
Go, did you guys hear I'm about to start a new band?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to call it 999 megabytes. But the funny thing is we haven't gotten a gig yet.
Yeah. I saw that one coming. Yep.
Now we can go fast.
That one kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
That just took the air right out of your balloon, didn't it?
Yep. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Good to see you.